Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up! I just whipped your ass.
You
take it all away.
Oh,
Lord. I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out every day. The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. And we have our other co-host on the line, and even though there's nothing going on and nothing's happening, I'll still ask him how he's doing. How are you doing, Couture?
Fine.
Perfect. Let's get this show on the road. Anyway, there's actually been a lot of news, you guys brought up a couple things like the pay-per-view review and then the upcoming brand split, but I forgot when this actually broke, but Cody Rhodes asking for his release, to me, is a pretty big news story and stuff. So you guys want to talk about that first?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we're totally talking about that.
Okay. Well, apparently what happened is that a while back, Cody Rhodes was making hints on Twitter that he may be going back to being Cody Rhodes in that Stardom. And then apparently he got the okay from Vince, I guess, many a time around then, and then Vince put the ixnay on it, and apparently Cody's not very happy about it, and just not happy with his position not being used, you know, as well as he thinks he should be, and it led to some issues, and he asked for his release, and he was given his release. Now, this isn't a total release. This is basically they released him saying, okay, you want to quit, you can quit, but it's not, okay, basically they said you can quit, but you're not really fired, or you're not, basically you're just not working, you're still going to get your paid, your guaranteed downside, I believe, but you're not going to do anything else and you can't go work for anyone else. And then there were rumors that, okay, that he probably did this because they were getting rid of Eden or some other stuff. And then after that, after he was released, people were already saying that Eden's released. And then she was like, no, I'm not released. I'll be calling pay-per-view and stuff. And then, of course, she was on. So it's like, okay, well, she's staying. But then the next day, she got her release. And now she's gone from the WWE. And if I was Cody, I can't blame her. You don't want you to leave your wife running around with a bunch of other wrestlers. Because bad shit mm-hmm. happens. It's a known fact. And, you know, that's the odds of something like that happening are greatly, great odds and stuff. But I'm sad. I mean, I like Cody. He's been around for like a long time, and you know, Dusty Rhodes' son and stuff. And I like Cody. And you know, I know a lot of people don't like the Stardust gimmick, and he really wasn't given a lot to work with on WWE. But I don't know if you guys saw this, but I once saw this. This is a little bit before Mania. Dallas was having their Comic Con, and they're having this big panel or Q&A with the Arrow. Sometimes I forget how to say his name.
Steve Amell.
Steve Amell. Okay, so Steve Amell. So basically what happens is Stardust invades the Comic-Con, and they have a camera following him around. And it's from basically he enters the Comic-Con, walking through all where all the people are, and going into the panel, and then getting rid of the guy emceeing it and putting Eden in charge and everything. And if you've seen this video, it's the greatest Stardust thing that Stardust has ever done. I mean, he is totally awesome. He totally commands the room. He totally plays off everyone who makes comments to him, plays off Amell, plays off the guy doing the Q&A. I mean, he's you see this and you think, man, this could be fucking this awesome character, but WWE just, they never went with it, never gave him anything to work with. And I'm actually excited because I'm hoping this means he can make some guest appearances on Arrow as some kind of crazy cosmic villain or something. You know, maybe that'll open the door. Maybe he can do that if he can't wrestle right away. Because it was just amazing. It just made WWE look so bad. How awesome he was doing that character, and the WWE couldn't give him anything worth a damn to ever do. What are you guys thought some of this whole Cody Rhodes release?
He was originally, went into acting for wrestling. I don't know if anybody knows that. Hollywood tried being an actor.
Yeah, I remember that. That was right before the Hall of Fame when they put Dusty in, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so. And I guess maybe that didn't work out, and then he went into wrestling. But he's very good, you know, as a personality. I mean, in the ring, he's very good, too. So.
Yeah, I would, excuse me, I would like to see him show up in one of the, anywhere but TNA, let's be honest. I think if he showed up, let's just say a Ring of Honor, I think he would be a major player, like, right away with that. I think he would do really well in there or whatever. He could demand quite a price tag on the indies, to be honest. I mean, why not? I don't know if Lucha Underground or Japan would have an interest in him or anything like that, but good for him. I mean, I think it's awesome when anybody strikes out on their own and believes in themselves enough to put all their faith in themselves. And I'm sure he's socked away some money. I don't think he is going to be destitute by any stretch of the imagination.
He actually said that he doesn't really. I mean, he obviously everybody does stuff for the money, but he does it because he loves it. More than anything, I think so.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that he doesn't, that he is going to get for years to come, basically, is he's on a lot of DVD stuff.
Yeah,
you know about Dusty Flair. I mean, he's going to get residual checks. Not, you know, they're probably not like bigger or anything, but even not working, he's still going to get, like, basically free money here and there for quite a while. And you're right, he could ask for a good amount to work shows, and then I think he could work, you know, he's good enough to work Japan. They usually like bigger Americans, but, I mean, he's good enough. And Ring of Honor, he could do well there because he could hang with anybody in the ring there. And
yep.
The thing is, it's like he could be either the biggest monster babyface in ROH, or he could be the biggest monster heel in
mm-hmm.
ROH,
yeah.
As far as getting like heat for being, you know, from the big time, basically. But either way, you could go the Dusty Rhodes son and get the good heat, or you could be the asshole of WWE and get bad heat. And I think he'd work out really well in ROH. And
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, TNA's dying, but he'd go on TNA and be like the biggest star almost right off the bat.
Yep. Yeah, totally.
I thought the hottest he ever was when they did the firing angle a few years ago. The baby face. Remember when
mm-hmm.
they did that? The
yeah,
authority fired
him
and then they brought him back and they teamed with Goldust, and they were a very good team for a long time as the tag team
oh, yeah.
champions, I thought.
Yeah. And then also get Dusty, like, banned from speaking on TV because he fucking cut off Stephanie. and they look stupid.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And also, I liked when he was doing I liked when he was doing like the thing we thought is he's wearing the mask. He thought his face was fucked up, even though it wasn't.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that was
when,
cool.
One time, I mean, back when he was like the Intercontinental Champion, and I think he was feuding with like Big Show and stuff like that. And he's always been very good. At least I think he has.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a great match with Rey Mysterio, one of the WrestleManias we went to.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's a great. I believe in his character. Not so much Stardust, but.
Stardust was only going to go so long. It was just like a.
Yeah.
It was very short term. Something that would work maybe for like a few months, and that's it.
Right.
And like I
right.
said, they didn't know how to book that character. I mean, if you guys have time, go back and find if you haven't seen it already that. It's a Dallas Dallas Comic Con. So it's him and Stephen Amell, and he's blow away fantastic in it. It's unbelievable.
And they had a great match when they had that tag team match at SummerSlam with Stephen Amell and that. That was a pretty good match, I thought.
Yeah,
having that anchor in there.
And that freaking awesome angle until Craig had to screw it all up.
Yeah, I'm smiling.
It's all your
fault.
That's
a hype one.
That's what did him in right there. Craig,
yeah.
He's the one that got him fired.
I did wish him the best. I did wish him the best, and I really, I'm going to miss our time that we spent together. So.
And
maybe if it had just grown the mustache back, maybe they'd have made him be Cody Rhodes again. I like the mustache gimmick. That was pretty fun.
Yeah. I thought Eden was a decent ring announcer. You know, she wasn't like the greatest, but she was adequate. She made less mistakes than Lillian. I love Lillian. And a beautiful woman. Do you know who she reminds me, Katrina?
Oh, yeah.
She reminds me of the Flash's, like, adopted sister, wannabe girlfriend from the Flash.
The black chick on the show.
The African-American
yeah.
chick on the show, Katrina. Come on. You with the times.
Well, she is black.
I know.
I can't help that.
But yeah, she looks like her. But
she's not black anymore. Nobody's black anymore. Did I miss the memo?
You probably missed
five. Don't ask me. I don't even
I
know what bathroom to use anymore.
I know black guy. I can say black.
You know how, like, they say the old stuff is new? Let's hope that never happens with the terminology for an African-American person.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
But she's a beautiful woman. I mean, I think she's going to do, like, a fashion blog or something. But,
yes.
You know, hopefully, and she's trying to keep it as amicable as possible, which I don't know how you could do that when your husband is, like, pissing people off. And that's another thing I wanted to bring up, like, that, you know, even though it's ultimately Vince's call, he did get pissed off at the head writers because I guess he pitched up and they either blew him off or, you know, whatever. And he made a couple comments, and he said that the head writer of Raw is a Brian Gutierrez wannabe and that the head writer of SmackDown is too busy hitting on developmental talent. And that's the one I kind of found funny. Now, I've actually never actually heard anything about that. And you think you'd hear a little more, but I just caught that. That's just like kind of caught my ear. But I guess if there's a draft, I guess SmackDown is going to draft a lot of developmental women talent, if that's the case.
A
lot of weirdness going on lately with these people coming out and saying their own things while they're still in the company. Very strange time. You notice that?
It really
like
is.
Like
Ryback
and Adam Rose, and you know now you got the Cody Rhodes thing.
I think Adam Rose was well. I think the writing was on the wall for Adam Rose, but yeah, it's cool that guys are brave enough to go out and test the water. There's really no competition. You know,
yeah.
their whole thing is they're going to go out there and they're going to go to the indie shows. They're going to do the signings. They're going to do all of that. And they're putting all their faith in them. They are putting their complete faith in themselves. And that's tough. That's really tough. I can't imagine, you know, having a wife and a family and stuff, and then just saying, okay, I'm going to make my money on my own, and nobody's going to be my boss. I'm going to be responsible for me and these other people in my life. And that is so admirable. I think that's just awesome. So, you know, good for them if they can make it. I think Barrett's going to do good. Heck, if Cody and Barrett could somehow come to a mutual agreement and sign with ROH, oh my gosh, can you imagine?
Cody could also, as soon as he gets the okay, a lot of guys that have been doing this lately, that they go to England for like a whole month,
mm-hmm.
and they work like. It's not just like you're working Friday and Saturday. It's like you're working almost every other night, it seems like, getting paid good money, and then, you know, it's Europe, so you're going to get to sell your gimmicks and stuff. So there's so many, and then, like, here, the cons, it's like they're having a heyday as far as, like, the wrestling cons and comic cons right now. I don't know what it is, but, like, more people go to them and are spending money at these things. So, I mean, yeah, you know, there's a lot of things he can do. As soon as he gets the okay to wrestle, there's a lot of things he can do. He might have to wait a while, but even if he waits a while, he's still going to get his downside the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And they could even be dicks and say, hey, you haven't wrestled these years. We're gonna overlap another year. He'd get paid to do nothing. You know, go hang out, and I think he could still do the cons, even if he can't wrestle. So, I mean, he's not going to be hurting, you know, at all, but not that I think.
Yeah, good on him. I hope all those guys do really good and show people that you don't really need the WWE to be profitable.
Yeah. So what do you guys want to talk about next, the pay-per-view or the brand split?
Let's run down the pay-per-view real quick.
Okay.
I've got the notes right up in front of me. I don't see the opener here. I mean the pre-show match. What was the pre-show match again?
Pre-show was Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler, I believe.
Again, right?
Yeah. I didn't watch it, so I don't know who won.
Well, to be honest with you, I watched about half of this pay-per-view, so...
Probably the one that won the match was probably the guy that lost the last match, so...
Yeah, 50-50 booking. Yeah, match number one, Baron Corbin pinned Dolph Ziggler in a no-DQ match. I did see this match. They did nothing that would warrant a DQ. There was no chair shots. There was no kendo sticks. They didn't brawl outside. Corbin did give him a low blow and the end of days to finish the match. But other than the low blow, there was nothing, no DQ about it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I'm like, I mean, at least they let Corbin win. He's already lost more than he should have just in the short time he's been there. Kind of sucks that they put him on the pre-show. I don't know. They haven't presented Corbin well enough for me to care about him on the main roster, other than for me to think that he needs some serious fucking hair plugs right away. Is that high definition to make him look stupid? or that, or just shave it all off. You know what I mean? You got to do one or the other. You can't have this in between. It looks stupid. It looks bad.
They can do the Waylon Jennings thing. Or the Waylon Mercy thing, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The Waylon Jennings.
I know for a second there, I was like, Waylon Jennings, he's got a lot of hair.
I think he's dead.
But, yeah. Or did. I did. But, I mean, neither one of these guys are, like, high on my list of why I watch wrestling or anything.
Yeah.
we'll see. Like I say, at least Corbin won. But we'll see when they go from there. It seems like it's not ending, so we'll see. Hopefully,
they're
Corbin
doing another match this week on Raw,
matches.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
Aren't they doing a rematch on Raw, like a technical wrestling match or something? No, what they did last week.
I think that sounds right. As far as I'm concerned, these two guys are just running in place right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second match was Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. They beat the Usos in a tornado match. Let me see here. The finish saw Gallows take the ring bell, bring it into the ring. He went to use it, but Jimmy super kicked him and went for a splash off the top rope. Gallows had dropped the bell. Gallows moved, and Jimmy splashed onto the bell. Anderson and Gallows hit the magic killer on Jimmy and got the pin.
You know, a lot of people bitched about the very first Anderson-Gallows match with the Usos, that it was too competitive, went too long. I highly enjoyed the match, and I highly enjoyed this match. I think the four of them worked really good together. You know, the Usos are good. Luke holds his own. I mean, Anderson is by far the better one, but Luke does his job. I mean, he's like the – I mean, it's not a good comparison, but he's, you know, he's the Robert Gibson of the team. But, you know, he holds his own, and he's big. You know what I mean? Vince likes that. And but Carl is so goddamn good. I like Carl. And I enjoyed the match. I thought it was great.
The fans finally turned on them with the Roman Reigns thing.
Yeah.
Including them as much as they are Roman Reigns.
Yep. They're old guilty bastard by association.
One Uso bitch that I have, and it first off, I don't like the leggings, the different color leggings. I think that looks stupid, and so I think people have talked about that. But what I really don't like, what I really really think looks stupid, why do you tape up your tennis shoes?
I don't know.
Keep them tied.
It looks stupid to me.
I understand.
It's like, you know how like the old Samoans used to put, they'd be barefoot, but they'd have their feet taped. Basically, it looks like that's what they were trying to do, but they forgot they had their shoes on already.
I had never noticed, to be honest with you.
I can't believe that because it looks so stupid.
Hey, when you can't afford boots, you gotta use tape, I guess. I don't know. Match number three, Rusev beat Kalisto in just over 9 minutes. Let's see. I missed this one completely, so forgive me. He went for the Selena del Sol, but Rusev rolled out of the ring. Kalisto did a moonsault to the floor. Rusev slammed Kalisto off the top rope and onto the apron, and won via submission with the accolade. They pushed the move.
And he cranked that thing in. It looked awesome on Kalisto.
Yeah, that did.
Like broke him in half. At first, he sunk it in so much, I thought he was going to pin himself, you know, and get a fluke and lose on a fluke.
Yeah, I didn't see the match, but I did see the move.
He did it usually guys, you know, they'll think in a move, and when they think in a move, it's nowhere near like that. But every once in a while, you'll see, like, women, they'll think in something, and they'll really arch or pull back because the women are a little more flexible. He treated Kalisto like he was a woman, basically.
Yeah.
And it was a good match. It was a good match. I love Rusev. But the thing that apparently blew this match away was just Rusev and Lana on the pre-show just answering questions, and just Rusev being Rusev. He is so good at being Rusev and being able to be serious and funny at the same goddamn time. And just, he's real quick-witted. You know what I mean? They're supposed to start doing more things like that with him. So hopefully this leads to a big, big push for Rusev, because he is by far one of the more entertaining people that's on the show.
Agreed. Next up, we had the New Day beating Yeah, the New Day beat the Vaudevillains just over 6 minutes. I missed this one as well. Kofi Kingston was on the outside. You know, he was the illegal man. He hit Gotch with an enziguri, and then Woods followed it up with a Shining Wizard on Gotch for the pin. Like I said, I didn't see it. I can't even comment on it.
They worked me on that one. They worked me on that one because when I saw that it was Xavier and not Kofi in the match, I was like, it's Freebird rules, and the Freebirds are losing, and it's Buddy and Terry.
I got you.
It's weird that the Freebird would they use Freebird rules while they're baby faces.
Right.
That doesn't make much sense to me.
A lot of things don't make sense nowadays. But it was an okay little match. I mean, nothing special. You know, the Vaudevillains are dead in the water, basically. I don't see them staying very long. Unless they just
that gimmick was only going to go so far. I mean,
they didn't even promote the gimmick. Like, they could have done black and white vignettes for, like, a few weeks and stuff, but they just drew them out there cold. And, so they've done a horrible job with everybody that they've called up. You know, we finally get a video package for Apollo Crews, and then he jobs. You know what I mean? Instead of being in a match where he could do, no disrespect to Jericho, because I like Jericho, but he could do so much more in that ladder match than Jericho can at his age now. So I thought that would have been a great opportunity to throw Apollo Crews into that Money in the Bank, but they chose not to. And they've done a horrible job with Apollo, horrible job with the Vaudevillains. Enzo and Cash, Luke Corbin. The thing I just said their names and now I forgot. Cass and Enzo.
Yeah.
Especially Enzo, you could book them in the shittiest way possible and they're still going to get over just because of Enzo. You know, so those guys don't need this great buildup to be able to get over. They're going to get over on their own. But as far as everyone else, you need help. You need to build it up. And when you're just throwing out there and then you're doing 50-50 right off the bat, you're nobody. You're just a newer version of Heath Slater.
I just wish they get some new material. I ain't hearing the same shit every week. God.
Yeah.
It gets old.
Yeah, it will get old, but the crowd's just going to eat it up. So it's all,
I thought the time machine thing was awesome.
I just get tired of saying the same thing every week. It's irritating.
Mm-hmm. Well, look how
I hate to be that guy, but
that and plus they're all African American.
Do what?
Nothing. Continue.
You said something stupid that you don't want to talk about, didn't you?
We will never know unless you actually go back and listen. Match number 5 was The Miz retaining the IC title in a 4-way Sami Zayn, Cesaro, and Kevin Owens. This match was incredible. I love this
match.
It
was the best WWE match this year so far, I thought.
I mean, it even started off with Zayn just darting across the ring and hitting his mafia kick and dumping Owens on the floor just to show how much these two hate each other. It was so good. Zayn hit an exploder in the corner. He set up the mafia kick. I'm reading Huluva kick, and I can't bring myself to say that because it's so stupid. Owens super kicked him instead, and then Owens powerbombed Cesaro, but Miz saved. Miz hit the skull-crushing finale on Cesaro, but he kicked out. Zayn hit the mafia kick on Cesaro. Owens then dragged Zayn out of the ring, and Zayn threw Owens over the barricade. Stick with me, I'm almost done. But then Miz snuck in and pinned Cesaro to win the match. So even though Sami hit the move on Cesaro, Miz got the pin with Zayn doing all the dirty work. I loved, loved, loved this match. It was so good.
So Sunday, I had to work, so I didn't stay home and just watch the pay-per-view. So I watched, I got to watch about the first match here, and I drove, and when I was driving, just had it to the side, and I had the Kalisto match on. And then when I got to work, that match had started or had just been on. And I didn't want to miss it because I knew how awesome it was. And they're doing construction at our UPS. They're like going to make it double the size. So they got us parked kind of far, and we have to walk. So I just turned on my, I had my phone on. So I'm walking there with my ice chest, with my lunch, in one hand holding my phone in the other hand, walking all this way while other people were kind of like looking at me kind of funny. Get to the guard shack. Didn't even turn it off or anything. Just put it there on top of on the table where they, I have to show them with my eyes just and stuff playing, and they kind of gave me funny looks. And then went, and then when I'm walking, I passed one of my one of the managers who I start yelling at, saying, "This is bullshit that I have to work when the fucking WWE pay-per-view's on." And his answer was, "Well, you should have stayed 6 days." I really didn't have a response after that, but I just fucking told him I wasn't happy about working there. And then I had to start working while the match was still going on, but I was constantly looking at it and stuff. But yeah, this match, even not even able to give my full attention to it, I could just tell how awesome this fucking match was. And I don't give a fuck what Bryan says. I thought The Miz played his part in the match perfectly and held his own, you know, with how he, yes, he's not as great as workers, all three of them, but it's not like he didn't do anything in the whole damn match. And since they hooked him up with Maurice, it's just, to me, that's a combination that works. And I've gotten way more into The Miz since she's back. I think he's been doing great.
He's very good. I don't think he gets enough credit for who he is.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Just some people are lying, and they can't give him any credit for it.
Brian hasn't liked him since he was out of position when Raw Truth did a dive out of the fucking ring 5 years ago. Some fucking reason. Called for him to be fired. Some stupid shit.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people don't like him just because he didn't come up in the indies like all these other guys did.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you're probably right.
Married to Maurice.
Hey, I respect him more because he's married to Maurice. If that guy can pull that, he must be doing something right.
Yeah. She has something. There's, she has this, like,
oh,
we
yeah.
don't even know how to describe it.
She got a lot of something.
Even if she's just standing there and not doing anything, she's just, her facial expression, she just looks like so cocky. She's got like a presence that a lot of the girls on that show don't have.
Oh God, I remember when she was the valet for DiBiase and it was like the worst pairing ever. And it's like,
yeah.
with Miz, it's like night and day from that
yeah.
pairing to with her and Miz. You know, so,
but
I
blame DiBiase Jr. because he was married, and I don't think he wanted to upset his wife. So you could tell
exactly
he was the one that didn't have his thing into it. You know what I mean? That was all his
Except
fault.
Except when she tried to win the Money in the Bank match at one time. That was pretty fun. When she was
I remember that.
And she has the most awesome set of collection of boots I've ever seen. Even better than Lillian.
Yeah. Okay, and then the low point in the pay-per-view. Dean Ambrose beat Chris Jericho in an Asylum match. I did not see all of this. I got through the first 5 to 7 minutes. I got bored. I fast-forwarded. They were still going.
On your
void,
Dean Ambrose. Can't believe that.
I fast-forwarded. They kept going. And the next thing I saw was Ambrose getting the bucket off the top of the cage. Wow, what was in the bucket? Thumbtacks. Jericho.
Do you watch this on Roku?
I watch this on my Apple TV. I have a Roku and an Apple TV. So,
you know how hard it is to fast-forward on the Roku on WWE Network? It's like
yes,
irritating. I mean, I don't do it just because I'm scared it'll like skip to the end of the fucking show and I don't want to see what
yeah.
happens. I've been using it on my Xbox One and it's a lot better. But on the Roku, man, that thing fucking sucks.
Well, on the Apple TV, the actual screen fades to black, and so you can't see what you're fast forwarding through. So you just kind of have to guess, and that's even worse. Anyway, they are Ambrose spread thumbtacks all over the place in the corner, and Jericho went to hit the Codebreaker, but Dean dropped him with like a powerbomb almost from the Codebreaker position and picked him up and hit Dirty Deeds and pinned him. And they never even used Mitch, the stupid potted plant, but this match went 26 minutes and 20 seconds, and I saw about 8 minutes of it, and the last 3 minutes were pretty good, but I did a lot of fast-forwarding, and I was not even – I didn't even feel bad about fast-forwarding because I heard the reviews on this, and apparently I missed absolutely nothing.
Well, my story while I was watching this match is the match happened, okay, the show was on the 22nd, right, if I'm not mistaken, which happens to be the last day of my phone bill cycle. And I have, you know, I have 10 gigs, and, you know, I get pretty close to using them throughout the month because I listen to shit while I'm at work and while I'm driving. But I've never really run over before until Sunday during this match that just stopped working, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I tried getting on Facebook and that wouldn't load and Twitter wouldn't load, and then I'm like, oh fuck me. And then I remembered my billing ended, so basically my phone turned off, or the, you know, shit I could download turned off. And this was around at this point, what time is it? It's around 9, 8:30. Well, as soon as 11 o'clock came around, because I'm Central Time, my gigs reset. But for some reason, it was just comical that, you know, I'm over here trying to watch the pay-per-view at work, and then it just goes out because I just don't have no gigs left to watch it. And I had to just wait till I got home. Or no, actually, like I said, around break time was around 11-something, so basically I was able to get on and check everything, see what happened. And, but, yeah, I didn't get to see this match or the rest of the matches live. I had to see them later.
It was very long. And the last few, when they brought up the thumbtacks, started getting good because they were teasing the spot. But I was actually stunned that they actually used the thumbtacks, to be honest with you. Because that was a little bit more hardcore than some stuff they'd done in, like, a long time. So.
Yeah, this was in all everybody across the board believes that this was really boring and really unnecessary, and I can't really understand why they went back to it after what I thought was a really boring match the month before. But I was in the minority on that.
It's kind of funny because you're a big Ambrose John Moxley fan, and you've been for a long time, even before WWE. Okay.
Yeah.
You have not been liking, and I'm not saying blaming it all on him at all, but you have not liked the majority of his matches in the past year, if I'm not mistaken.
The match with Brock was good at Mania,
match
of course.
With Triple H was very good. With Triple H was good.
Match with Triple H was very good. But this program he's doing with Jericho, I am not into it. And I know Jericho's old school, and I know Jericho knows how to work. I'm not saying anything about it, but what he's doing with Ambrose is not working, and they need to move on. Ambrose should not be working slow, methodical. He should be doing that fast-paced ROH Dragon Gate-style match that got him over in the first place. This working Jericho speed ain't cutting it. For the insane Dean Ambrose, slow and methodical doesn't work.
Speaking of Jericho, was Apollo Crews not supposed to kick up at that moment, or did he kick up way too goddamn slow, and what the hell happened on Raw?
I don't know what happened there.
I don't. I think there was just a miscue where he thought Jericho was going to hit the ropes and and come back? I don't know. That was the weirdest thing.
Because it was so funny because he kicks up and then he gets Jericho lands on top of him, basically.
It's actually a really awesome spot if the timing would have been better. If Apollo Crews would have been kipping up and then almost up and then Jericho squashed him with the lion salt, that would have been a pretty cool looking move.
Yeah.
But the timing would have to be
the middle
perfect.
Of arching like his back going up.
Yeah.
And he hit it, that would have been a cool move. I think he was gonna nip up and then hit the standing moonsault is what he was gonna do. It would have been a cool spot too, so.
Or maybe Jericho, when he was calling the spot, he said knees up. And Apollo
said
kip up. Yeah.
Yeah, that could have happened.
Just,
that actually makes sense.
I just thought of that, actually. Anyway, seventh match on the show was Charlotte retaining the women's title. She beat Natalya at a submission match. Ric Flair was banned from ringside, but Ric Flair's music played. And this person who came out with thin legs and a very bad wig entered walking backwards.
That's why I thought it was Charles Robinson.
Exactly.
At first.
It was Dana Brooke. Natalya let go of the hold that she had Charlotte in and was distracted. Charlotte came up from behind, attacked her, and got her in the figure eight for the submission. And Charlotte and Brooke celebrated at the end. And Dana Brooke is now Charlotte's heavy. And as we saw on Monday, Ric Flair banished from the WWE. And
I thought that was a tremendous segment on Monday, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was,
I thought that was great.
It sucked, too, because if you go back and listen, like, Charlotte is, like, upset. Her voice is quivering. She's not happy to say the things that she's scripted to say. And it was actual genuine emotion, and it was good.
Okay, I got a lot of things to say about a couple things there. Regarding Charlotte and the promo, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was one of the better promos in weeks. And part of the emotion was a big part of it. And you hear all these people bitching and complaining about it, but it's the same people who bitch about scripted promos, and they want fucking realism. Well, you got some fucking realism, and you didn't like it because it seemed a little awkward because she reacted to the crowd. I thought that added to her being upset and adding to the realism. And her, like, the way she cut it, crying too, like, oh, why would she be crying? She's crying because she's been fucking hurt for 30 fucking years and she's letting it out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I thought that was just absolutely brilliant segment as far as her and Rick. And Rick, just his face was just incredible. He has the best facial in wrestling nowadays. And I thought it was great, and anyone who's bitching about it, it's just you can't be happy with anything. You're just going to bitch about whatever. You can say how you hate scripted promos, and then you're going to cry when it gets fucking real and stuff. So, I thought that was awesome. Now, this also, the angle at the pay-per-view showed me why I don't have a lot of faith in WWE. Because you have a girl in NXT who's selling merchandise like she's, you know, she's top five in the company. She's up there with John Cena and The New Day. And she's by far the biggest woman selling merchandise person there. She's so goddamn over. There are freaking thousands of little girls dressing like her, hundreds of them at these NXT shows or the big NXT shows. And you have this thing that can't miss. But who do you fucking bring up? Who are you in love with? Just some random blonde, big boob bitch who, in my opinion, is years away from being in WWE. I mean, she can't. You also got the women's division over because now they can work, or there's girls who can work. She can't work. She couldn't work. She's not been there long enough to know how to work. Every match she's going to be in is going to suck. Yes, she has some presence, but I don't actually think she's actually that pretty at all. In fact, there's so many girls on the roster that's Becky Lynch is so much prettier than her in the face, but she's not blonde, you know what I mean, or got the big boobs. But, yes, okay, yes, she has a look, but you're going to, you think you love her, you're going to love her, and you're going to push her to the moon when you got a proven commodity in NXT just waiting to explode in a bigger scale. It just doesn't show me, I don't have faith, you know what I mean? I don't have faith that they're going to do Bayley right and they're going to screw it up when she gets up there because, you know, when it comes down to it, hey, let's push the pretty blonde with the big titties.
Well, it's not like they brought her up like in a spot Bayley would have. She's a heel-type bodyguard.
Yep.
She's not like this hot baby face or anything. They're not portraying her as that. There's that difference.
It's... If she doesn't wrestle right away, I'm fine with that. In fact, I've seen her wrestle already, and I'm not impressed. This might have been the best thing that ever happened to her was Emma getting hurt, because that was kind of the thing. It was going to be Emma and her. Well, let's push her with the women's champ. Well, the women's champ is going to be on all the shows. So, you know, good for her. That's fine. I don't think she's ready. I really don't think she's ready.
I never seen her before this, to be honest with you, so I can't say anything.
The only real good match she's ever been in was when she just was hanging on to Asuka as Asuka was working a match around her. You know,
yeah.
and then you know, hey, she could become good. She's very athletic, you know, and maybe she'll be good. But right now, it's too soon for that push. And you're only putting on her in that push because she's your idea of what a superstar is. You know, just like that's kind of why Roman's falling apart right now and sucking because you know Vince sees him and is in love with his look, and that's what he is with Dana. But that doesn't guarantee nowadays, just because you have a look doesn't mean anything. You know, thank God for AJ Styles because, I mean, Roman would be floundering really bad if he didn't have AJ Styles to have this, you know, really great program with.
See, I disagree. I think Roman's a heck of a wrestler. I think he's really good.
Yeah, I do too.
I really wish he wouldn't let the crowd get to him, and I really wish they would just turn him heel and get it over with. But, hey, the fact is that the fans don't like him because the, quote-unquote, the man wants you to like him. And so the man is going to push him, the man being Vince McMahon, and because the man is pushing him down our throats, we're going to boo him. Because we don't like being told what to do. I mean, I don't think I'm way off base in that statement.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, that used to work. They used to work. You used to be able to push the guy real heavily and the fans would go with it. But that was when there were more casual fans and less like now and now there's more smarter fans. And it just doesn't work in this age. There's ways to do it, but when you make it so blatantly, obviously, you're going to get that reaction.
Yeah. Well, actually, that doesn't beat us to our last match.
I also think that there's a part of the audience that just likes to do their own things at these shows, to go the other way just to do it, I guess I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give a different, just kind of like blow a guy kind of for no reason. I think I'm trying to say, not that there's no reason to boo him, but I think a portion of the audience is like that, like with the whole hijacking the show stuff. I think there's something to that too.
They're just real life trolls in the audience.
I blame the foreigners for all this after WrestleMania Raw, but they hijacked the shows.
You might be out of something.
Well, right, so you can't wrestle. That's so fucking stupid.
Exactly. Obviously, you can. You know, he's doing it right now in front of you. Not quit being stupid. Okay, anyway, last match, main event, Roman Reigns pinned AJ Styles, Extreme Rules match. This match went actually 22 minutes, which is actually shorter than the Jericho and Dean Ambrose match. Match was going along just fine. There was a big backdrop through an announce table. They were just beating the crap out of each other. I loved this match. And then it was a, you know, it was going to happen sooner or later, but Anderson and Gallows came out. There was no DQ, of course. They beat down Roman, laid him out with the big boot. Let me see here. They put Styles on top of the pin, but the Usos ran in and super kicked Anderson and Gallows and then Styles. Jimmy Smash.
Thank goodness it ain't the Russos. We don't need more Russos in the wrestling business.
No, we don't need any of those. Jimmy splashed Styles off the top rope, put Roman on top, but Styles kicked out. Anderson and Gallows brawled with the Usos. Reigns hit a Superman punch on both Anderson and Gallows. Reigns went for a spear. Styles blocked it, hit the Styles Clash, but Roman kicked out. Reigns backdropped Styles onto a chair, went for the Superman punch, but Styles hit the Enziguri and hit the Styles Clash onto the chair again. Jay pulled Styles off of Reigns at first, and then he went back to cover. Reigns kicked out. Styles grabbed the chair, destroyed everybody. And he went for the springboard forearm, but Reigns hit him with the spear as he came off the top of the ropes and got the pin. This was a great match. And then, as Roman was celebrating, Seth Rollins ran in, hit the pedigree, and the crowd lost their ever-loving minds, chanting, "Thank you, Seth." And Rollins picked up the belt and posed with it as the show closed.
Yeah, this was a great match. I think AJ's been, you know, phenomenal since he's come in, since January. So pretty much everything he's done. So I've enjoyed seeing him get a chance on top here. So
that description that Craig just gave made this match sound horrendous. Are you sure this is good?
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. And even though Russo was not in the match, I apologize.
No, it was great. I loved everything about the match, honestly. Would have preferred AJ winning, but oh well. The Seth thing made up for it. But AJ, two things. AJ is goddamn, he's good. And two, unfortunately, I'm probably wrong on this because he has been around for a long time, but he's not long for this world. He's going to die in the ring.
You know what? There are some dudes in wrestling that are very, very durable. And when I say durable, I'm talking about guys like Rob Van Dam, who just seem to destroy themselves on every match they do. They could go through tables, they can fall on the concrete, they neck themselves on the top rope, they take stupid, insane pile drivers. The Young Bucks are like these guys too. It's like that they were genetically designed for wrestling. You know what I mean? I mean, these guys should be hurt all the time. There's no
and
way
then, and then they
should
up,
be walking.
And then they wind up breaking their legs on like baseball slides.
Right. Yeah. I kind of see AJ Styles as one of those guys that his body is such that he's just going to be in wrestling forever because his body was built to do this.
Hey, Kurt,
I know it sounds weird, but go ahead.
Do you follow Mia Yim on Twitter?
I'm not 100% sure. Possibly.
Well, if you don't, you should. And if you do, you need to check out her tweet from 20 minutes ago.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well,
do I have to check out Twitter, or can you tell me here?
What?
Can you tell me here so I don't have to go to Twitter?
No, you're going to have to see it. I can't do this photo justice.
Okay, well, I got no interest in it then.
Yeah. But anyway, go back to what you're saying, Grace. I knew you were going to thank me greatly when you see this photo. That's why I interrupted you. But you can continue.
Well, I'm now.
Oh, now you're trying to find the photo. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I thought overall it was a great pay per view just because the two matches when there's two matches that good, you have to put as a great pay per view even if some of the other stuff wasn't that great, and a lot of the stuff was good, even pretty good. So I thought the last two pay per views have been pretty good. I think they've been on a roll as far as wise since WrestleMania, as far as doing good shows and good angles. Because as much as I don't really care for Roman, the angle's been actually really great with AJ the whole time. And I'm looking forward to Money in the Bank. I think that'll be pretty good.
Okay, I have found a photo that Ed would appreciate. It's basically her in a thong.
Yep.
Right?
That woman is put together, man.
she's. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
She's fine.
Since we are talking about her. You know how, like, a few weeks ago, people were making a big deal about EC3 being on an Evolve high pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Well, for the first time ever, the TNA Women's Knockout, well, I guess it's a knockout, not women's, the TNA Knockout Championship is going to be defended on Shine next month, which basically Shine is in the sister promotion of Evolve. So on a pay-per-view that's kind of somewhat whatever, you know, maybe people make bigger deal of their relationship, but on a show the WWE has somewhat of a relationship with, the TNA Knockout title is going to be defended on it. It's kind of weird to me that shit like that can happen nowadays.
I thought it weird when we see TNA gimmick show up in NXT.
And what?
When we've seen these TNA gimmicks show up in NXT, you know?
That's when they're kind of like James Storm, he was kind of like at an impasse. It's not like he was signed at the time, and then Rude and Eric have gotten their releases. But this is an actual, like I say, the current champion defending on the title.
Well, it's a TNA champion. It don't mean much.
Yeah. But still, like, you know what I mean? You would never would have. I mean, well, I guess we did see it that one time with fucking Mike Awesome and Taz when he went to. So, I mean, that you haven't had anything since, like, that happened.
I thought it was weird when they were doing, and they had the EC3 doing the anti WWE gimmick, a TNA guy doing an anti WWE gimmick on the Evolve show. I thought that was a little bit strange.
It's weird, like anything can happen nowadays that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
And also, it's also funny because she doesn't wrestle as Jade and Shine. She's still Mia Yim, so I wonder if they're actually going to introduce her as Jade or Mia Yim, Knockout Champion.
It's actually kind of interesting. Yeah. Okay, well, we just got a few more minutes here. Starting next month, there's going to be a brand split. There's going to be a certain set of folks that wrestle for SmackDown and a certain set of folks that only wrestle for Raw. And probably will be doing like they did before with both of them, SmackDown and Raw crews, heading on doing their matches on pay-per-view together. Since we only have a little bit of time, what are your thoughts on the brand split, Couture?
You know, it's been long enough that I think they could try this again, and depending on how they do it, it could be interesting. I really hope they don't do two world champions on these shows. I hope they don't split that title in half again. It just kind of makes both of them mean nothing. I would just have like the women's champion and the world's champion, the women's champion, and tag team champion. They can be on all the shows, on both shows. You know, to give guys a, you know, like 1 month they can defend against somebody on SmackDown, defend against somebody on Raw or something like that. And maybe just keep like the IC champion, maybe IC champion for SmackDown, US champion for Raw, something like that. I'm interested in how they do it. Because when they first started, I thought it was pretty interesting when guys would jump from one show to the other. I thought that was pretty neat. And I think they need to have more different style of both shows. Like the first time, SmackDown was more the wrestling show with Paul Heyman doing it. So that was really good when he was booking SmackDown. So I'm really interested to see how they do it. And I probably will start paying attention to SmackDown more if it's live every week. So I'll probably start watching that too.
Mm-hmm. And Edward?
Well, I agree. I hope that there's only one champion and he goes between both shows. And I'm fine with the tag team champions doing that. And I'm fine with the women's champions doing that, or I'd also be fine if they were just all on SmackDown. I could go either way on that one. I am excited to get to hear Mauro Ranallo call half the pay-per-views now. That should be pretty awesome. And I think the way they've been writing the stuff lately, that they're on a writing streak, and I think that now would be the perfect time to try it. And if it doesn't work, you can just forget about it like they do everything else. So it's worth a try. It's interesting. And, I'm not going to be totally down on it. I'll see how it goes. But I think they can make it work. And hopefully they'll call up more people from NXT, and then hopefully more independent people will get jobs. And hopefully it works out in that way also.
I am perfectly fine with this. I am also with you guys. I would like to see just one champion, one heavyweight champion. I think the heavyweight champion should work both Raw and SmackDown. And with that said, I think the women's championship and the tag team champions should also only be one champion, and they should work both Raw and SmackDown. They should have one brand get the IC title and the other brand get the US title, and those two people should be pushed as number one contenders for the heavyweight title on the shows. So it'd be almost like when Flair would tour the territories. They would push a guy to the top, and when Flair came in, that guy that they spent all that time pushing would get the shot at Flair. That's the way they should do it with the brand split. I totally agree that they should call up some of the NXT talent, and they should replenish NXT with some of the guys they got in that Cruiserweight Challenge coming up here in a couple months. And, I see nothing but good things, not to mention SmackDown needs a shot in the arm. I haven't watched SmackDown in, I would imagine, probably close to a year. If not more. I'm just saying it hasn't been priority viewing, because I already know what happened because it's a tape show and I've already gotten the results. And
really nothing ever happens on it. Really.
That too. So I think the brand split will be good. Hopefully they'll stick with it for a while. I just hope Vince doesn't, if it doesn't work out right away, I hope they don't just jump back on and, screw it. Let's go back to doing things the way we used to do them. Because when Vince gets, upset, he's, as I said about Ric Flair, he's a ready, fire, aim kind of guy. He reacts, and I think they should let it. I think they should let it simmer and do its thing for a bit. But yeah, I think it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be good.
I would even say that, you know, if you wanted to, you could like get rid of the U.S. and the IC titles and just establish like a SmackDown and a Raw champion to be the number one contenders.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to do
I'm,
that,
I'm okay with that too.
Just because of, like, the IC and the U.S. titles, I mean, they've I think they've been hurt for a long time that people see them just as, like, mid-card titles. That maybe if they just did, like, a Raw and a SmackDown champion, they may see them as, like, a little bit higher up. So maybe they could do something like that.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. So I think that ends the wrestling portion of this podcast. Cotrera, you had something you wanted to say.
I got a chance to see X-Men Apocalypse this past week, and I can see some of the criticism of it, but it's still a very good movie.
Whoever criticizes this movie needs a kick in the balls. Can't go wrong with an
action movie. Even if it's just for the fucking Quicksilver scene. If you love the time in the bottle scene from Days of Future Past, you're going to fucking love this one. Promise you.
Okay.
It's like so much better. It was so much better. Plus, it's from the 80s, so it's to a hell of a song. So.
How's cool. Princess Stark?
She's okay. I mean, I just can't get her. I can't get Sansa Stark. She's Sansa Stark for me. She's not Jean Grey. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's not
ready. I was expecting, like, a little bit more, because they built it up with Apocalypse. He's basically, like, kind of like the I guess he's kind of like what to the X-Men was, like, I guess Thanos is to the Avengers in the Marvel world, I would say. I mean, is that fair to say? I don't read much of these comics, so I don't know
he's
much
one
about
of the major
that,
ones. He's one of the major ones.
And,
I mean,
I was expecting like this much more epic movie, but it really wasn't that big to me. Of course, again, I don't read the comics, so it's not going to be that big to me. But just from the way it was built up, but it's still a very good movie. It takes a while to get going, but when it gets going, and it's really good. The Wolverine is in it for a very short time, and you can see it coming a mile away, but it's very good.
That's cool.
And this is
still
like one of the prequels, right?
This is
still one of the prequels.
Like in the middle. This is like in the
okay.
It's a prequel, but it's kind of like in the middle. It's between First Class and the newer ones because Storm is in it, but it's teenage Storm. And it's teenage Jean Grey and it's teenage Cyclops.
It's a sequel to Days of Future Past.
Yeah. So you get both.
So.
You get a little of both. I got tickets to see it tomorrow. Center Row, D Box, 3D. So I'm excited.
Nice.
Real quick, I did see Angry Birds last week. It reminded me why I never go to kid movies because, goddamn,
yes.
I just wanted to start super kicking little kids left and right,
yes.
Just being little kids. And I thought I'd be smart to sit in the back, but next time if I ever go to a kid's movie, I'm sitting in the very front because nobody was down there. But it was funny. It was okay. Nothing like super great. I was expecting a longer battle scene, but that didn't last too long. But it was okay. But real quick, before we go, let me draw out the plugs. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. Check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Couture and order shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo. And if you're interested in going to Vegas for the 10th annual Vegas convention, we have a fan page, and that's basically the F4W/Wrestling Observer Vegas Convention number 10. So you can get all the information up there. And there's also at the very bottom of every update, you can get a link to the Facebook page, so make it easy. So check out that, and go ahead, Craig.
And you can follow me on Twitter. The name is my last name and then the word jam, so it's Proper Jam on Twitter. Anything wrestling and or music related, I do there.
You go to youtube.com/Betrayer. I've got a bunch of wrestling, old wrestling videos if you're into the old wrestling. I've got a bunch of stuff up there, so you can go check that out. And I wanted to ask Craig, you know, I never got to talk to him about it. What did you think of Captain America?
I've seen it twice now. I thought it was one of the better Marvel movies, probably top three. It was really, really good. It was really, really good. I very much enjoyed it. Saw it 2 weekends in a row, and I just like the story. You know, the stories. I actually like the second Captain America better. Dump on that one, but I think the story in
who
that one
on the
is,
second Cap. That's the best Marvel movie, probably.
I agree, but I've seen people. And I've even seen it in one of the top 10 lists online of, you know, the worst ones. But I think that second Captain America is really good. And I would put that one just ahead of this one, and not by much. It was really great. I really enjoyed it. Storyline progressed nicely.
I like how they follow through on a lot of stuff from Winter Soldier.
Yeah, completely. And I like the kid that, spoiler alert, I like the kid that plays Spider-Man. He actually...
I like that better.
I told you.
I like the kid that played Spider-Man. I think he's going to be great. He seems very unassuming. He's not emo, moody kid or anything like that. You know what I mean? Okay. I think they might actually do something good with Spider-Man for a change. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's a great movie.
Oh, and anybody that's into video games, check out Doom. I've been playing the shit out of that this week. I love that game.
Cool. But I have one last question for you, Couture, and then we will end the show.
What did I do?
Were you, or were you not crying by the end of Game of Thrones?
I'm going to be honest. Started watching Game of Thrones and I fell asleep through the whole fucking episode and I have to go back and watch it.
You didn't see the ending of it?
Oh, when the retarded dude got killed?
The what?
When the retarded dude got killed?
The Hodor or whatever his name is.
Hodor, yeah.
I woke up right when he was holding the door.
Oh, man. I've
never been into that Bran Stark stuff. That stuff's kind of goofy to me. I kind of tune out to it. So it wasn't that big of a thing.
Oh. Well, that's the thing. It's like, because he's such a minor character. Like, usually when they kill somebody, you either have two reactions. You're either pissed off or you're goddamn happy as fuck they killed somebody. This is the first time where I've actually just been sad. You know what I mean? I thought they built it up pretty good, and just the way it went down. I thought it's one of the best scenes, too. Almost as good as the Watchers on the Wall as far as, like, action. But
I'm just glad they finally reunited some of those Starks after 6 years.
Right? They haven't been together since, the first or second episode.
I know. I mean, it's like been forever. I know it was. Like I've been waiting for 6 seasons for somebody to get reunited with somebody, and finally it happened. So.
Yeah, I think this season has been phenomenal.
I just wish we would have seen the dogs eat the baby.
Yeah, you would say that. So we're just gonna end the show before Couture proves that he's even more of a sick son of a bitch than he just did by saying he wanted to see a little baby get eaten by some dogs. So everybody come back next week and we'll talk to you then.
The Rhythm Man! found out how good you are, you're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up. I just whipped your ass. You take it all away. I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.